Good evening, welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Internet edition, the debate about what should be done for past presidents continues. Should it be rent, a mansion, or good pay for them to acquire it on their own? And trial by jury, is it serving its intended purpose or it's time to do away with it? My name is Abraham Asari. Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Text line for tonight's program is 0264418767. The line again is 0264418767, and we are live at gbcghana.com. The debate as to what should be appropriate in the resettlement of past presidents continues to rage on. For the past few days, the argument has become whether a rent should be borne by the state or a building be put up to house past leaders. Different leaders of the argument all seem to push the point of prudence. Those who are concerned about the constitutional provisions say that the president's conditions should not be varied. The latest personality to wade into the debate is Dr. Kwesi Ndum, the CPP flag bearer in the 2008 elections. He thinks Ghana's presidents should be paid well during their tenure to enable them put up their own houses. So how can this argument be subjected to further analysis? Dr. Matthew Pukupempe is MP for Mensah and he's joined us now on the line. Good evening to you, Dr. Pukupempe. Welcome to Radio Ghana tonight. Now, what do you think about the suggestion that came from the president? He suggested that rent be paid for former presidents.
Good evening. Sorry. Thank you very much. I think the president's thoughts that was put to public or put to public consumption by his acolytes from the Ministry of Information does a great disservice to the president in meaning that it need not necessarily have been put to public domain. It has clouded a rather useful suggestion with a lot of political populism and propaganda. And while we begin to wonder why such a useful suggestion was not sent from the presidency to the Constitutional Review Commission. Nevertheless, some of us would like to put it on record that it is not the president who decides on what he gets when he retires from office or his term of office ends. It's a constitutional demand. Like some of us said, when this whole brouhaha about President Kufuor settlement, I personally said on air that whether President Milton likes it or not, he would have to abide by the Chinehesi Committee. And whether President Mills likes it or not, he would have to set up a committee. So there was no need at that time polluting the political atmosphere with a so-called Ismail Yamsin Committee, which turned out to be bogus and probably more fraudulent than everything else, apart from wasting the nation's resources. The President, if he has set up the Chinehesi Committee, the Constitution says that committee should be responsible for two things: determining the retirement benefits as per Article 68 and 71 of our Constitution for the executive and the presidency, and such report for the executive comes to Parliament for approval, and that of the Parliament goes to the executive for approval. So I don't think in the light of current happenings in the country, that statement that was put out for populist, for its populist value, not for any intellectual discourse.
Well, but you talk about an otherwise good suggestion from the president, and then you're describing it as a populist, you know, it being put out for populist reasons. I cannot see the reconciliation.
Yes, I said it's a useful contribution to the debate, but I'll tell you why it is populist. Around the same time, there are sections of the population that are agitating for fair remuneration under the fair wages and salary single spine salary structure. So one, the president wants to put out there saying that he, the president, is thinking about the nation hasn't got the resources, so he's even foregoing what President Kufuor and President Rawlings have been given.
Is that the meaning you put to the suggestion?
Wait, let me give you the second reason. The second reason is this same president who set up the Constitutional Review Committee, some of us even at that time felt that it was going to be very, very irrelevant, a waste of public money, which is turning out to be so. Why didn't he send this suggestion to the Constitutional Review Committee for us to discuss it? He didn't. Knowing very well that the constitutional powers and Article 71 and 68 are probably entrenched clauses, and there's nothing we can do about those things. Why is he all coming out publicly? This is the first time a certain president has come out publicly on a constitutional provision. I set up a committee and let them decide. Why hasn't the committee finished and you decide to go out and tell all Ghanaians what your position is? Did he tell Ghanaians what his position is for the Constitutional Review Committee?
So you're saying that
it is very, very political, his suggestion, even though there might be some useful suggestions that we can take out of that. It's very, very political.
You're saying that it is an attempt by the president to forego what has to be done to the former president, Kufo? Is that what you're trying to say?
It is an attempt for the president to paint in the eyes of the public that what is due President Rawlings that they are insisting on getting. What is due President Kufo that he insists on getting? Key President Mills is foregoing it. What is all the value he is? And doctors are out on the streets demanding what is worth in their remuneration, and he's saying he cannot pay. So he wants to create out an impression in the public domain that he thinks about Ghana probably more than everybody else in Ghana here, and that is why he has brought forth a public something that has never been done before.
So the statement is subject to various interpretations, but what do you think with our current economic conditions and all that? Do you think that...
It is precisely so that the message the president sends should be a message that reassures Ghanaians, should be a message that fosters unity, it is a message that fosters Ghana's development, not message based upon political propaganda that each and every Ghanaian can subject it to an interpretation he or she sees. That is what has happened. And I'm telling you, my brother, the only this thing I even heard on radio that was given about a month ago, so why make it public today? Purely for propaganda. Nothing useful in this political atmosphere. Pure propaganda. Telling doctors that I am sacrificing. What he did not tell us is that the cars, the other facilities, is he foregoing them? I wish he could have said that I, President John, if I start having when I go out of office, I won't take anything. But that is a
well, but if he does forego the house,
that is a great transformation for a sitting vice president who was not catered for in Green Street response, who wrote to President Kufo to beg that he be considered. It's a great transformation indeed. The only thing that has changed is probably he's now the president and gets other things we don't know.
So what do you suggest? What do you think should be done in the light of all the various suggestions that are coming out?
I was thinking that if the president has sent suggestions, you see, his suggestions, people say that he said that, it will come after him. That is, again, another populist propaganda. As I tell you, it is not worth the statement. Why do I say that? He can only do what the Constitution says during his tenure of office. If in 7 January 2013, Ghana gets a new president, that president would have to form another committee. If in 2013, President Mills is re-elected president, he has to form another committee. That is why we have Green Street 1, Green Street 2, Chimney Hesse 1, Chimney Hesse 2.
So for how long are you going to continue to setting up committees like this? Why don't you have...
My brother, let's allocate Ghanaians with the truth. The Constitution says that every president and the president's tenure of office is 4 years. You set up that committee to determine those two things. And all other Article 71 office bearers, it's not only the president and the MPs, you know, and only the ministers or deputy ministers. There are a lot of Superior Court justices, and a host of other people.
But that provision by the Constitution, is that not a waste of time and money? Why can't we have a uniform provision?
Sure, listening to your question, you are probably wiser than the whole consultative assembly people, what they did. And I'm not begrudging that. You might probably be very, very wise. But you see, as far as this is not changed, your huffing and puffing is propaganda. Go to the Constitutional Review Committee, put your thing down. President Mills, in all his 4th year, if he thought this was the most overriding priority in the country, could have made an amendment to this in the constitution, subjected it to a referendum, campaigned for it, and probably have won. And that would be putting words into action. Not mere propaganda to achieve certain things that he's trying to do that we can all see through.
What exactly do you think he's trying to get from this statement?
I'm telling you, it's propaganda against the medical doctors. It's propaganda against President Rollins. It's propaganda against President Kufuor. And it is to no avail. It doesn't appeal to anybody. That's why I said such useful suggestions is not for discussion in the public domain. I'm telling you, he would have gotten more brown points if he had sent this a month ago in the lab, being kept under wraps. And then Professor Arama Adi presents his report. And it is in the report that for President Mills, they are not going to give a house because the president doesn't want a house. Ghanaians would have applauded him. Not when doctors are in trenches for 3 weeks demanding what your own pay wages and salary has evaluated and you are claiming you cannot pay. Not when President Rollins and President Kufuor have rejected propaganda houses you are giving them in Trasaco. That is the point I'm trying to
make. What is propaganda about the houses that was given to the former president?
Why did President Rollins refuse it?
I'm not sure he's giving the reason, has he?
Why did President Kufuor refuse it?
Because he says he's not, his spokesperson says he wasn't involved in the whole process.
So why would you go and give somebody a house when he's not involved in the whole process? That's why I like it too. If my mother leaves me within your care and says, give me food to eat, and I see that you put rat poison in the food and you tell me to eat, would I eat it? I'm asking, would you eat it? No.
Okay.
So those handshakes, those extensions of constitutional provisions that the president or his staff were trying to do for propaganda reasons, people saw through it and they declined it.
Okay, Dr. Apokuprempeh, just hold on. We want to speak to your colleague in Parliament, Mr. George Kuntu-Blankson, who is the Deputy Majority Chief. Mr. Kuntu-Blankson, welcome to the discussion tonight. What do you make of the current debates about resettling former presidents with regard to housing?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Speak louder, my brother.
Okay. The question is, what do you think about the debate, concerning the former presidents and their housing resettlements?
Well, it's a constitutional issue that wherever the ex-president are out of office, they should be settled. They should leave their house and certain amenities. So it's a constitutional issue. So all I can say is that we should meet the panel.
And how about the president suggesting that he would wish that in future a former president is given, some percentage of his...
It's a welcome news. He said in future. He didn't say currently. He said in future. That is his opinion that such a thing can be considered. So it's a matter of opinion. It has not been confirmed and it has not legalized it. Because any constitutional issue must be brought before Parliament, or if it is enshrined, it must be, what do you call it, there should be a referendum. If it is just a matter of something that is inculcated in the constitution, then it can be brought before Parliament for amendment.
So
what he said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's an opinion expressed by the president, because he is observing that if such a thing is done, it's going to help the nation. But other people also have a school of thought about it, saying that if rented houses are given them, the cost implication will be higher. So it's a first opinion expressed by two parties, and we need to put it in public domain for discussion. There's nothing wrong with it.
If it is a constitutional provision, the president knows that we have a constitutional review commission. He could have sent that suggestion to the commission to consider.
Come again?
The president could have sent that suggestion he's making to the constitutional review commission, because it's a constitutional matter.
Exactly so. And once it has been presented, it's that constitutional committee who are mandated to take concern of people insofar as amendment of the constitution is concerned. So there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't get what you said.
I am saying, you asked me whether it's a constitutional issue, and I say yes, it's a constitutional issue. But currently, there was a committee set up, constitutional review committee, take off concern of people insofar as amendment of the constitution is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
If that comes as a matter of public discussion and the constitutional committee sees it's good that they can take it on board, there's nothing wrong with it. All what we need is a good constitution that can stand test of time to help advancement of our development.
But do you think that it is about time Parliament, you know, had a permanent commission to see to the resettlement of former presidents, a permanent one, so that...
My brother, you see, there are so many things wrong with our programs in this nation. We are just moving in the trend of the old age. We must move according to the trend of the time, because there are certain things we need to change. Other than that, this country will not move forward. I'm telling you, there are so many things wrong with this country. Where we must put political issues aside and see it as a nationalistic point of view, so that all of us will be on board and make sure things that can impede the development of this nation could change.
Is this but one of them?
The young ones who are not yet on board. Hunter, look at how many of unemployment issues we have in this country. Right now, from colonial time up to Kwame Nkrumah time, that Kwame Nkrumah was able to put out certain leaves. How many? Or what government has been able to, erase this, what you call pressure in this country? This is a matter that should be concerned to all Ghanaians. Not for what they are saying on radio. That will not help the government of the nation. All what they need, the people need, is to create jobs and make sure things are well done for the betterment of the people.
And I'm sure you agree that, or you may say that this is one of the things that will have to change. This is one of the things that maybe may not be right with that country. Haven't you set up a commission anytime a new president comes, you know, into office to see to the resettlement of a former one?
Yeah, my brother, I am so worried about the future of this country, because what we see right now from all the past governments, there hasn't been any system or plans that will give relief to the young people in the country, because they always think about themselves better than the youth who are not employed in this country.
Is that why you think the president's suggestion is a good one?
My brother, that is why I'm saying that. Anything that can bring relief to the economy and make sure that systems are workable for the benefit of the youth and the generation that are born, are welcoming.
And this is one of them?
Of course. Because, look, a president... You were president. How much were you paid? You were giving some lump sum of money, well paid, and at the end of the day, you retire on your salary. If the president was alone, what about the parliament? The legislature? That was to, augment the strength of the programs of the president. When you retire, or when you lose election, you go home, nothing. Look at the MPs. They who lost election, and they rendered good services to the nation. What is your future? Look at them. What is your future? Master, we should look inward and make sure that where we see things are not moving well, we have to amend it for the betterment of the nation.
Yes,
we are all one people, one nation with one common destiny. One is better than the other. We are all created by God in His own image and likeness.
Okay, Mr. Kuntumbaki, I'll come back to you. Dr. Afoku Pempe, your colleague sees it, you know, in the light that I'm sure you've heard him. He thinks that it is a way to ease the burden on other workers as well, not just the one who is the president.
He did not actually see what you are trying to allude. He thinks it's a good suggestion that the president has brought, that we should look at it in a broader sense, that we should look in Ghana things that are not working well against the development of the country. We should tackle all. He even gave a suggestion that look at legislature, the parliamentarians. When they retire on nothing. So why is it good for the president, not good for the legislature? So he is raising even a bigger question. He's not even discussing only what the president has said. So I wouldn't like you.
Look, I gather that he is saying that the president said that because of, you know, other people like parliamentarians and maybe judges and the rest, you know, who...
Did the president say that, actually?
That's the meaning he's trying to deduce from what the president said.
Did the president say that? I'm saying listen to what he's saying and interpret it fairly. Not interpret it in a jaundiced way. He's saying that, yes, it is a good suggestion that the president is making, but it is a constitutional matter, and that has to be brought to parliament. That is the issue he's raising, and that is what I told you, that otherwise useful suggestions can be interpreted in different ways depending on what is happening. He has gone further to even talk about unemployment in this country and things that are not going with the system. He has given an example of an MP who has also served 4 years, who is going home on nothing. And the president is retiring on something for the rest of his life. So these are issues everybody has an opinion about. And the best way to subject this is in the appropriate court of decision. meaning the appropriately empowered body that can bring it to fruition, not subject everything to populist rhetoric.
As a legislator yourself, you think that it is better to do away with the old system constitutionally, parliament maybe amending or whatever, and having a permanent commission to deal with it once and for all?
I don't think we need a permanent commission for this. Set up 5 people whose only job is every 4 years they decide on what is good for the president and parliament. That's a waste of money, actually. And I don't know who has been floating that idea, they're thinking that they set up this commission and it is worthwhile. People previously suggested that we should take it to fair wages and salaries. And then people question that there are a group of bodies there that are different from each other. So, yes, we might have to subject it to a lot of discussion. We might subject it to a lot of things. Given Ghana's constitution is an vast improvement in over 90% of democratic countries, Ghana probably is the only or one of the few democratic countries where the legislature salary is not discussed in the legislature, but being given to a commission outside it to do it. Almost everywhere else, Britain happened also recently, everywhere else is the legislature that decides on the salary. Some have modified it that if you decide it now, it will take effect from the next legislature. So we have to subject it to critical analysis, not vile propaganda, not vile populism. That is my issue.
All right, so we thank you very much for being with us tonight. Dr. Matthew Fokuprempe, and you have a good night. Now, Mr. Kunju Blankson, briefly before you go, how about the suggestion that all public servants, including the president, be paid very well so that after their term of office or whatever, they can put up their own houses?
Of course. Your emolument, your salary, everything is calculated and given to you. We are not going to be giving you a house apart from what you receive. Are you understanding?
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying that the whole system must be overhauled and make sure that it meets the new trend of activities in the whole global world. Because we are saying we are living in a global village, but we are not living in isolation. What is good for the good is good for the gander.
Thank you very much for talking to us tonight, Mr. Kuntu Blankson, Deputy Majority Chief Whip in Parliament. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. You can also get us on gbcghana.com. Two more views on this issue. Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Some of your text messages. This one from Said Ngaru. Why are we refusing to tell ourselves the truth? How can a person who cannot afford his own house afford to campaign across the country to become a president and ends his term of office still homeless? This one from Jeko Mampong. A decent house must be given to all former presidents due to the risk they go through. From Side, well, that's the text I've just been in the news live on Radio Ghana in a canal. Back to the debate on the resettlement of former presidents. Dr. Sekou Nkrumah also has a view. Good evening to you, Dr. Nkrumah. Welcome to Radio Ghana. So, what exactly is your view about the debate?
Yes, good evening to you. But can you just tell me what debate you are talking about? Because I just heard you briefly.
The debate about resettlement of former presidents, whether we should build them a house or give them rent money to look for their own accommodation and rent one for themselves.
Yes, I think the president has made, let's say, a move asking that we should not give ex-president a house, but rather kind of rent accommodation for them. But my point is that there was a bit of a contradiction, because that comes after a week or two after he had, I think, released his government, released money for the renovation of the ex-president.
That has to be done, because there's a provision constitutionally for the former president.
No problem. So we are moving forward in that sense. But my point is that when you really look at the situation, is that most of them have houses of their own, all these people we are talking about. So somehow, I think we need to be, as a people, to be sensitive to the people of the country. And of course, I think above everything, we need to put things out there in the open. What exactly we need as a people, how do we want our presidents, leaders, and so on to be treated. And then we, based on what we think the country, whether we think Ghana is a country that has a high standard of living, then we can see them as such. If we think Ghana is a poor country, then obviously they will have to be a bit more sensitive to the average Ghanaian and so on. I think what is happening is that a lot of people who go into public office and politics in particular, they seem to forget that it is a public service and it should be like sacrifice. Many of us also expect that most of these people, especially when you reach to a high office as a president, that you should be a self-made man or woman. You are somebody who had achieved success in life. So
are you suggesting that those who we vote into office should be men who are self-made, already made, people who have their own money, their own houses?
No, not necessarily. What I'm saying is that people who are successful or whatever field they have chosen in life. So if you are a writer, I expect you to be a successful writer. You've made a living out of writing, so you don't need to the state to take care of you.
But democracy is not for those.
Office, you can go back to your.
But democracy is not for those who have made it in whichever field. You could have a young man who may not have had, you know, his own house or whatever. But
no, but a young man that is, you are talking about 40. You cannot be president if you are below the age.
He could be 45 or 50.
Yes, exactly. But that's not exactly a young man. That's somebody who has gone through life. I mean, you're no longer you're somebody who. But my point is that you look up to people to reach their position. People who have been successful, achieved things in life, and now they are now trying to give back to society. That is the impression I get. But I think here we have a completely different perception of leadership and people in certain positions. I'm not too sure whether it's part of our cultural limitations where there's too much emphasis on power and therefore we expect that somebody in a position that has to live in a certain kind of lifestyle and so on. I think we need to gradually be moving away from this kind of thinking and rather see public service as helping the society, giving back to society or something back to society. And the other argument is that also when you look at the kind of money that is used in political parties to campaign and so on, you realize that even those political parties on their own can actually take care of the leader of the party. Who then, if you become president and after you finish your term in office, the party that had been taking care of that person as a leader, because an example is Professor Mills when he was in opposition for 8 years. I think that was, he was not doing any other job but being leader of the opposition in NDC. And it was the party that was taking care of him. So the point is that if that is the case, then why is it that when you are out of power, why shouldn't the party also probably take care? It should be the responsibility of the party and not the nation.
Is that what
but
you think?
It's for all of us as Ghanaians to decide. If we think the country should take care of its president when they retire and so on, or they finish their term of office, and how much we need to give them, how many houses, how many cars and so on, that is for all of us to sit down together and decide. So I guess we have to wait for that report to be finished, and then I guess we can all be able should be able to make contributions. But I think a country like Ghana that is not, we can't call ourselves a developed country, rather underdeveloped, or still have a long way to go before we can reach the kind of standard of living that we would want to see, the high standard of living for the average person. Then I guess our leaders will also have to lead a fairly simple lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with them after they are out of power to go back to whatever lifestyle they were living before they came to power.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us tonight, Dr. Tekin Nkrumah. We appreciate the time, and you have a good night.
Okay, yeah,
thank you very much. Now, let's seek a legal view. Lawyer Sekwaju Adu is a lecturer in media law at the Ghana Institute of Journalism. Lawyer Adu, good evening. Welcome to Radio Ghana. I'm sure you've also been following the debate. What do you think should be done?
I will look at the problem not from the legal point of view, but from the moral point of view, as a moral challenge, to be specific. And I'll look at it within the context of the governor and the governed and the responsibility that the governor has to the governed, and then to ask whether the governor has, in terms of stewardship, provided what he or she has to provide as far as the governed are concerned. So now, if we are able to satisfy ourselves that the governor has indeed discharged his responsibilities well, for instance, has put food permanently on the table of the governed, who are, who in the majority, are poor, then we can say that, of course, then they deserve everything that they will be asking for. Now, the other side of the moral challenge is the fact that who is going to finance this kind of budget?
But how, but before we go on to, onto the financing of the budget, how do we decide, how are you able to tell that the governor has been able to put food permanently on the table of every Ghanaian? Is that possible? Can that ever be achieved?
No, no. Putting food on the table of every Ghanaian is just the general saying. But at least putting food on the tables of a majority of Ghanaians, that is the question. Now, so when we say that putting food on the table of all Ghanaians, we are not saying specifically that it should be food on the table of everybody, but at least a significant majority of Ghanaians must be said, or can be said, to have food on their tables permanently.
And until that is done, we shouldn't be talking about...
No. For now, since that has not been done, we cannot then say that now, in the midst of this poverty, now you are going to task this poor person again who has not got food on his table to, again, support these governors in the sense that, now, when you ask yourself how much, I mean, in terms of pay or salary, are some people receiving at the moment? And then how much tax do we have placed on people's salaries and allowances, etc.? And so you realize that if now we're going to tax these same poor people again to support these same governors who have not, in actual fact, discharged the burden of getting the poor man become a bit satisfied, if we are not able to balance this up, then if we are asking more of the poor person again, then it means we are not being fair to the poor person.
Now, so in the light of the position that you are putting forward, the president's suggestion then is good.
Sorry?
I'm saying in the light of what you are saying, then you can say that what the president has suggested is a good one.
Yes. Somehow I tend to agree with him, but as to whether he should hire a place or not, it's neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, we should ask them what they have been, you should ask them to account for their stewardship. And if they are able to do that, for instance, then we can say that, yes, let's give them this or that. Now, can you imagine a situation where a past president just wakes up, gets out of his house in a very posh car or from a very posh house, and then all of a sudden he waits or walks into an area where there are just poor people who cannot find food to eat? I mean, it will not wash. So it is unfortunate that these past presidents have found themselves at this time of our developmental history being faced with this challenge, you see. And our present state or situation is such that we cannot carry that burden. My brother, when you look at Article 71 in the Constitution, if you look at those public offices which must be supported from the Consolidated Fund, you realize that when you put all together year in, year out, it is a big burden which, my brother, can, on the other hand, can create growth pools all over the country. If we send these monies around into and put them into developmental projects, it is possible that these monies can create growth pools throughout the country. Than to give these monies to these ex-presidents who we expect perhaps to have saved even before they entered office. And even whilst in office, you can't tell me that whilst in office, they didn't save or they could not make anything out of the money that was paid to them in terms of allowances and emoluments. And for that matter, they have to, the poor person has to be saddled again in terms of providing with cars and houses. What I think these leaders must rather do is they should thank God that out of the lot of us, they have been very, very, very lucky to become presidents of the country. And so that alone should tell them that they have been lucky, and therefore, by the circumstances, they should spare us the other burden they want to impose on us, whether legally or whatever it is. For instance, if the law is saying that we should give them money, or we should give them houses, or we should give them this and that, these people should come together and then look at the moral questions involved, and then to spare us that burden.
Okay.
And then once again, it is also time for us all to hold all of them responsible and accountable. For instance, from President Rawlings through to President Kufuor, and then President Mills when he leaves office. Let us hold all of them. We shouldn't separate them, say that this is NPP or this is NDC. We should hold all of them accountable and
tell
them what they did jointly.
Thank you.
It's positively affecting us or negatively affecting us than to separate and leave them alone, and then when they come to power, they keep on accusing each other and then leaving us in this kind of situation that we still find ourselves.
Thank you so much, Lawyer Saikoju, for being with us tonight, and you have a good night. Lawyer Saikoju Ado is a lecturer in media law at the Ghana Institute of Journalism here in Accra. You're listening to Behind the News, and the program is live on Radio Ghana in Accra, where trial by jury is a system that has been used in many countries over a long period. Its effectiveness, however, depends on the level of understanding of the legal issues surrounding a case. The role played by a jury is a dicey one, since a mistake by they commit can go against an accused person in a criminal trial. But just like any human institution, mistakes do occur in trial by jury. Is it time to review or even do away with this system? A High Court judge is strongly recommending to Parliament to abolish trial by jury. He believes that his hands were tied on two occasions to go along with a jury who showed little knowledge about an issue at stake. What is involved in trial by jury, and what are the pros and cons in that system? Let's speak now to Mr. Alfred Obese, who is the MP for Ashaiman and chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on the Judiciary. Good evening, Mr. Obese. Welcome to Radio Ghana. Now,
good evening, my brother. How are you?
Well, fine. Hope you are fine too. So, have you ever observed a trial by jury?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, when I was in fact, I did observe a trial by jury.
And can you tell us what the nature of that trial is?
Sorry?
What is the nature of trial by jury? Can you describe what it is? Tell us what it is.
Oh, at the beginning of a trial, the jury and panel, normally a jury of seven, they sit down with the judge to go into the case. Normally, the jury is the one who go by the facts, and the judge go by the law. So at the end of the day, the judge give a summary, and the jury will retire and bring a verdict, the verdict based on the facts and upon the direction of the law given to them by the judge. So they return a verdict, and the foreman will pronounce this is a verdict. Whatever the foreman pronounces or the jury pronounces, then the judge is bound to rule by that.
So,
at the end of the day, the judge says that this is what the
jury has decided.
And so he will go by it. He has no option that going by that.
Okay,
that
so
is trial by jury.
Just to explain to me, the jury goes by the facts, that is the facts of the case as was reported to the court. You know, and then the judge goes by the law. So then, if the facts are wrong, what happens to the decision?
No, the jury are supposed to listen and follow the facts by the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, they say this is what they have found. But the judge is supposed to give them the law.
To abide by.
And come back and say this is what they have found. The judge is bound by it.
In that case, the judge doesn't have any influence at all in the decision.
He has no influence. All that he has to do is to pronounce what the jury has reported. Whether wrong or right, he has to accept it.
Even if he thinks or he knows or feels that the decision...
Once he has given his summary of evidence, his summary of the law to the jury, and they go, they retire, and come back and say that our finding is A, our finding is B, the judge is bound to pronounce whatever the jury has brought. And that is what the judges have been finding very difficult to follow, because they may come out with what they think to be the, but they cannot pronounce upon the facts. They can only give the direction as to the law. And if they come back and say that, no, we don't agree with your direction as to the law, the judge is bound to pronounce whatever the jury has brought. And that's why the judges are finding difficult, because that may be different from what the judge finds. But the judge has no right, once he gives the summary of evidence and then gives the direction as to the law, he is bound to pronounce whatever the jury brings.
That means that the system may not be proper. It may not be a good one if the judge's hands are always tied and only has to pronounce what the jury...
The jury are supposed to be listening to all the evidence. They are to follow the case and then analyze the facts and give direction to whatever they think to the judge.
But why that system? Why do we have to go by trial by jury?
We inherited our system from the British, and that is what we are following. The jury trial we inherited from the British system. So, if we feel it's good for us or it's not good, it's left to us. But as of now, that's what we have been following. And from time immemorial that the British brought the administration of justice to Ghana, we have been following it and we are still on it.
And under what circumstances does the court decide to go by trial by jury?
Under the circumstances, when the case is one tribal by jury, the sentence might be one with the first degree or capital punishment, then the jury is to be empaneled. That is the circumstances.
In your practice, did you ever come across a case that, the jury decided but he felt that justice was not done?
No, I'm not. And when we went as a judicial committee from Parliament, we went to Kuperidua, and one of the judges brought the thing to our attention and gave instances where injustice have been carried, we followed him. But if we have to go further, then we have to go back as a committee and think what we should do and give direction to the judicial committee of whatever it is. We give direction to the Chief Justice that is already found from our rounds. But for us as now, that is what is existing in the law. That is what the law says we should do. Jury, judge, and empowerment of the jury. We cannot do otherwise. That's what we have now. We inherited from the British, and then that's the law now.
But can we decide to do away with it if we feel the system is on
the will of the people? It's what we should follow, but as of now, we are not decided contrary. That's what we have on the law books.
All right, Mr. Gosi, we thank you very much for your time tonight, and have a good night. Alfred Gosi is the MP for Ashamang and Chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on the Judiciary. You're listening to Behind the News. This program is live on Radio Ghana in Accra, and all original FM stations of the GBC and live at gbcghana.com. Here are some of your text messages. This one says, the former presidents need to be paid properly to build on their own during their tenure of office, instead of building them a mansion or lending them money. Bawa Tiekasu near Chereponi. I think the president's suggestion is laudable, but it should rather take place after he leaves office. Shaibu, Badi in time. Now, our former presidents are already rich. Can't they sacrifice at least the provision of mansions to the poor? It seems they are in to empty our coffers, fat ex-gracious, which are non-taxable, etc. Kofi in Damongo senses that the president's proposal is the best and all Ghanaians should support him. Raymond Bantabel, Ground Zero Ridge. Law is for man and not man for the law. Let's amend the necessary clauses in the articles of the Constitution to save Mother Ghana. The president's opinion is in the right direction. This one came from Kofi Wayo, Jama, UCC. David from Konkomada. President Mills could not have said it better. As a matter of fact, it is a waste of the nation's resources to build houses for former presidents. And back to the issue on the jury. Before that, just this one text. My father has worked for 30 years as a laborer in a public institution. Would he be given a one-bedroom accommodation, Kojoekins, in Cape Coast said that. Just a bit about the trial by jury story just did. Nana Yulitha is a human rights lawyer. Good evening to you, Nana. Welcome to Radio Ghana tonight. As a human rights lawyer, where would you situate your trial by jury?
I'll situate the argument on the following grounds. You see, when you look at our constitution, we find out that the article, I think it's article 18, on fair trial rights, is actually the longest article in our constitution. And we have elaborate provisions on rights of persons who have to go through trial in terms of legal representation and also in terms of the procedure for the trial itself. So to the extent that the trial by jury would undermine the rights of the accused person, I would say that we need to review that. And I believe the judge has raised very good points in terms of some of the problems associated with trial by jury in Ghana. I'm also aware that there is an overhaul. There is an intended reform of our criminal justice system. But these are genuine problems, and some of these problems adversely affect and violate the rights of accused, arrested, and detained persons as far as their fair trial rights are concerned. So I would say that there is a need to have a review of a trial by jury.
But in the case, yes, in the case of trial by jury, can a lawyer who feels that his client was not fairly treated appeal?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are grounds you can appeal. But the issue is looking at the trial itself and what goes on during the trial. Especially the one of the things is the length of the trial, and then apart from the length of the trial. When I read the article, the judge was talking about the direction where, as a judge, and because of the training of the judge, it's obvious that there is more or less a misdirection, or the way the jury are determining the case may not necessarily be in accordance with the law.
No, but in case of an appeal, will it be the same jury that will sit in the case?
No, it would be an appeal court, a bench,
yes.
Three persons. So it wouldn't be the jury that would sit on. And if you review other jurisdictions, even in selecting the juror, it's a very elaborate process it's influenced. The jurors are profiled, and it influences the trial. So people are very particular about who serves as a juror. We do not go into those details. We don't do a background check and an assessment. So this is why we may have problems. I would not call for a complete abandoning of trial by jury, but definitely we need to review and reform our criminal justice system and our trial by jury.
But in our case, you made reference to what happens elsewhere. In our case, how are the jurors selected? How do they get to serve?
Well, they are selected, but I am yet to see defense, like the defense lawyer or the lawyer for the accused person, rejecting this juror or accepting that. Because when you read what happens in other jurisdictions, that is what happens, because their decision determines the fate of your client. And do we even have the capacity to do background checks? I mean, do we have intelligence, private agencies that are intelligence agencies that do background checks? Because we need to start developing all this, private investigators, because that is their job in other jurisdictions. They do background checks and all that, so that you have jurors who understand the issues. I'm not saying the jurors we appoint do not understand the issues, but then you are able to do background check and then you're comfortable with those who are selected. And sometimes they are even quarantined, they are put somewhere and they can't contact anybody, and we are not, because of resources, we are not able to do all of that. So, and look at what happens, the media, discussions of cases, court cases, and all that. It will definitely influence the person. So we need to look at all that and ascertain whether or not we are actually dispensing justice by continuing a trial by jury, and whether or not it's not time to do an overhaul so that we actually dispense justice for those who are accused of committing offences.
And now we thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much and have a good night. And now you leave by the human rights lawyer. You're listening to Behind the News. The program is live on Radio Ghana. We're after raising serious concerns about the activities of Fulani herdsmen in their traditional area. The people of Aogo have attracted some attention and now action to aid their cause. The National Security Council has given the Fulani herdsmen 14 days to quit the Aogo area. It is seen as a measure to promote peace in the area. So how are the people responding to the ultimatum? Is it a panacea to the tension that has existed in Aogo for some time? Behind the News revisits the issue, and we have now on the line Opanyin Kinsley Obing, a concerned citizen of Aogo. Good evening to you, Kinsley. Welcome to Behind the News. So, what is your reaction to the response from National Security?
Anyway, we are pleased about how they have come to our aid. That is, in giving the ultimatum of 14 days for the Fulani herdsmen to leave. For this, we are pleased. By the way and manner they conducted this thing, the person who signed the letter for them, or the indenture for them, is leading the delegation. And then this commander is leading them. They don't want to go to where the Fulani herdsmen are.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite clear about what you're saying. The person who signed what, from where, and can you go over that and be clear on that?
One of the people who signed their indenture. They gave him an indenture to stay here for 15 years.
Okay.
And they want to withdraw it.
Yes.
So they have to withdraw it. But this thing, the judge who is among the this thing, the people who signed the indenture, they have been asked to lead the delegation to, or the task force to, where the Fulani people are. For this, we are not pleased about it.
Why not? Because he should be the person who knows where they are.
We know them better than him. We know them. We've got hunters who know them better than him. But since he's leaving, he knows the Fulani herdsmen. He knows the Fulani herdsmen. So he doesn't want to go to where they are. But if to suppose...
So your fear is that the message may not get to them. Is that right?
Yes. The message... Yesterday, they went to a place. But it's rainy. They are in the rainy season now. They don't want to go to the muddy place where these Fulani people are.
So now that action has been taken to some extent, are you going to lift the blockade or the ban on funerals?
No. Unless the Fulani herdsmen are out of our land.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you so much for talking to us. I'm sure there'll be much to talk about in subsequent days. Thank you so much. And you have a good night. Opinion Kinsley Obing, a concerned citizen of Aogo. You're listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Government should build state. These are some text messages. Government should build state-of-the-art houses where former presidents will retire to, but it should revert to the state upon their passing on Dauda Nwa. Montara Nwa also says, if a president who serves the nation for just a few years goes with so much, a teacher deserves heaven on earth. The Constitution must not exploit us, the poor. Lawyer Osei Kuju, your submission is classic. You are lawyer of lawyers. We need people like you to move Ghana forward. And this came from Divine Roger and Pandai. And Adam Stofik Wazongo says the various political parties should take care of their former presidents and not the state. And that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News. It came to you live from Broadcasting House in Accra. This program is produced by Kinsley Obeintre, Christopher Isidro, Baita Gama, Edmond Tete, Nina Isoa is technical producer for tonight, and Jonathan Thompson, our summarizer. My name is Abraham Asai. Have a good night.